This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Besides him and the witness of Muhammad, I want to start this khutbah with a dua that the Prophet made, alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahumma inni a'udhubika min ilmin la yanfa'u. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from knowledge that doesn't benefit. I found out that you all like long khutbahs. This is what we hear. I ain't gonna do that. I'm like a short khutbah man, hit it, and then get off it, inshallah. So if you're looking for this long, long khutbah, what they gave me, I ain't gonna do it, inshallah. But I do pray that what we're going to have today is gonna be beneficial to all of us, including myself. I remember there was a young man from this area of Washington, D.C. Every time I came to do a program in Washington, D.C., him and his friends would come and they'd see me. And after every program, they would take me to a restaurant, and we would stay and we would talk. This brother, he moved from Washington, D.C. to California. Recently, he came back to see me in New York City. He said, Imam Siraj, I want to be brutally honest with you. He said, I hate going to Juma prayer. I hate it. I said, why? He said, Imam, because it's not relevant. I don't feel like the khutbah is relevant. I feel like I waste my time. So therefore, one of my supplications today is that we don't waste your time. That every one of us here needs something. And I don't know it, Allah knows it. Therefore, I'm asking Allah to give to me what you need. And if Allah answers our dua, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord said, call upon me, I will answer. If Allah answers that, then every one of us who's sitting here, even the imams themselves, including myself, inshallah, we get something from this khutbah, inshallah.
Sure.
I was asked to talk about the responsibility of the Muslims in Howard University. So I'm going to deal with that slightly. But two things I'm going to focus on. Number one, I'm going to focus on you. What you have to do for yourself. Your responsibility for yourself. And then number two, the responsibility to others. This is the main topic, inshallah. I want to first say what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-mu'minu qawiyyun khayrun wa habbu illallah minna mu'mini da'ifin wa fi kullin khayr. A strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than a weak believer. Though there's good in all of them. So even the weak Muslim and imams have to be aware that this is the way, this is our culture, this is the reality of which you live in. Every Muslim ain't on the highest level. And nor did the Prophet think it, nor did Allah think it. He knew that. So therefore I'm going to try to give a khutbah taking into consideration the great disparity of Muslims and the level of our iman. First, ourselves. I've had so many conversations like this. You ask a Muslim, are you a Muslim? You say, of course I'm a Muslim. Hardly would they deny it. Some now even deny that. If you ask them the question, do you make salah? No. You fast in Ramadan? No. Well, you can't tell them that they're not Muslim. And I give you a long history of people who call themselves Muslims and they don't even do the basics. I just remember I was in the Oslo, Norway, 2 weeks ago. I found out for the first time in the history of Norway, there are more atheists than Christians. 39% of the people in Norway are atheists. And 37% are Christians in a small Muslim community. In France, did you know that 64% of the people in France consider themselves Roman Catholic? 64%, that's 41 million people in France consider themselves Roman Catholic. Interesting. But the thing that you should note is that only 4% of them are practicing Roman Catholic. If you study the way this thing is going, we have a major problem. I spoke to a Muslim the other day, was in my office, alhamdulillah, immigrant brother, had been on drugs. And he told me, Imam, I want to do something. I want to give back to the community. So we've been talking. I introduced him to another brother. And he started telling me about the Muslims in Detroit. I have no way of verifying. Telling me. But he said to me, Imam, in Detroit, more Muslims are arrested than non-Muslims. He gave me a long list of his friends died of overdose. Muslims died of overdose of drugs. And he told me about the situation of the Muslims around the country, and I'm hearing this from other Muslims, how leaving the fold of Islam. So the first thing I want to focus on is ourselves. That's why, قُلْ أَنْفُسُكُمْ وَأَحْلِكُمْ نَارٍ. Allah says, save yourselves first and your family from fire. Now, just give you something, background information about our Prophet, peace and blessings. A man came to the Prophet, he wanted to learn about Islam. And the Prophet said, خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتِ, five prayers a day. And listen to what the man said. هَلْ عَلَيَّ غَيْرُهُنَّ قَالَ لَا إِلَّا أَنْ تَتَوَّعَ. So the man said, is there more than these five prayers? He said, no, except what is extra. And then the Prophet said, fast in the month of Ramadan. قَالَ هَلْ عَلَيَّ غَيْرُهُ قَالَ لَا إِلَّا أَنْ تَتَوَّعَ. Is anything more than this Ramadan? Anything more than those? Fasting Ramadan, he said, no, except what is extra. And then the Prophet والسلام, said, Zakat. قال هل لي غيرها قال لا إلا أن تتوع. Is there more than that? Zakat. He said, no, except what is extra. Then the man turned around and walked away and said, والله لا أزيد على هذا ولا أنقص منه. I swear by Allah, I'm not going to decrease it or add to it. Qala aflaha in sadaqa. The Prophet said he will be successful if he's telling the truth. You all bear witness. Five prayers a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mandatory. Consider this. I hope that someone here knows mathematics, and you have to help me. I know it's June and you can't talk, but you indicate to me. Right? Here's the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. I'm going to tell you something too, by the way. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him. Wallahi, I love him more than any combination of human beings ever combined together.
Lord.
That's how much I love him. Wallahi. I love Imam Talib, but Imam, I'm sorry, I love the Prophet more than I love you. Here he goes. He goes to the heavens, and Allah gives him the commandment of Salat. You all know how many prayers Allah commanded? 50. And listen to the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. فَرَجِدْتُ بِذَلِكَ حَتَّى مَرَاتُ عَلَى مُوسَى. And I returned with it until I met Moses. Now this is, think for a minute. Think, 50 prayers a day. Allah told him, and you know, Prophet? And we do it. Musa said, did Allah order you? He said, 50 prayers. فَرْجِتْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّهُ مَتَّكَ لَنْ تَتِيكُ ذَلِكَ. Go back to your Lord and ask him to reduce it. Your Ummah can't do that. You know the story. He goes back and forth until he's down to five. You know Moses said? فَرْجِتْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَإِنَّهُ مَتَّكَ لَنْ تَتِيكُ ذَلِكَ. Go back and ask your Lord to reduce it, because your people will not be able to do it. Are you kidding me? You know what 50 prayers a day is? You know math. You look like you know math. Let me tell you what 50 prayers a day is. That means you go to the masjid and you make one of those 50 prayers. You go home. Oops! I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna do my second prayer. Every 28.8 minutes, you gotta make another prayer. You can't even sleep through the night because you gotta get up and you gotta make another prayer. And you know what? Our Prophet, alayhi salam, was willing to do it.
Moses said, go back. Now the prophet is embarrassed. I can't go back, ask Allah to reduce five. But how many Muslims can't even do five prayers? I tell you something that happened. I was actually one of the eight prayers in one of the cities in America. I'll never forget this. And it was about 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was sitting down, and the people were behind me. And the leader of the organization said, "Oh, brothers and sisters, I have an announcement to make. Imam Siraj is about to lead the Eid prayer, but it's important that any of you who didn't make your Fajr prayer this morning, you should get up now and make your Fajr prayer before Imam Siraj leads the Eid prayer." So I'm saying, I ain't going to look. I'm not going to look to see how many people are going to get up and make Fajr prayer. I'm not going to look. Until I heard a lot of movement, ruffling of clothing. And the curiosity got the best of me. So I turned around, and oh my goodness, lo and behold, maybe 60% of the people praying Salatu Fajr at 9 o'clock. I'm not making a judgment, that's not my point. My point is, what's the condition of the Muslims? Are there more Muslims who go to the masjid, or more Muslims don't go to the masjid? Are there more Muslim women wearing hijab, or Muslim women not wearing hijab? What's the reality? Allah knows best. But what I'm saying today, our responsibility is for ourselves. Do you know that there's an ayah in the Quran? You know, sometimes if you read the Quran, the people of Jannah will speak to the people of hell. And the people of Jannah will ask the people of hell, "What got you here?" One of the things they will say, "We were not of those who kept up salah." You can get punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for not making salah. So the first thing I just wanted to take a moment to emphasize is about our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I move on to our responsibility to others, I want to show you something about our Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. What a tremendous teacher he was. He was a phenomenal teacher. And he was a motivator. And I want to give you one example. This hadith was narrated by Anas ibn Malik. He said, one day, we were sitting with the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, "Soon there's going to come a man, min ahli jannah, a man from the Jannah." And as soon as he said that, a man walked in, his beard was dripping from the water of prostration, he had his sandals in his left hand. The next day, the same thing happened. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Soon will come a man of the people of Jannah." That same man came in again in the same condition, holding the sandals in his left hand and his beard dripping from water. The third day, the Prophet said the same thing, and the same man came in, and the Prophet got up and walked away. One of the companions, I know his name, I don't want to tell you his name yet. One of the companions of the Prophet got up and followed that man. He said, "I had some issue with my father, and I would like to stay with you for 3 days." And the man said, "Okay." We don't even know the man's name. Rajunun. A man. We don't even know his name. I know the name of the man who followed him. I don't want to tell you yet. So he goes, and he stays in his house for 3 days. So when this man went to sleep, this other Muslim who followed him is like waiting for him to get up at night for Salatul Tahajjud. I mean, of course, he's going to get up. And he doesn't get up the entire night. But he notices that whenever he changes position, he praises Allah. And that's it. After 3 days, this man, this Muslim, came to this man and said, "You know what? I didn't have no issue with my father. I did that because I wanted to stay with you for 3 days. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said this about you, that you are people of Jannah, and I wanted to know why, but I didn't see anything spectacular about you. What is it that you do? Why did the Prophet say that?" And he said, "This is it. I don't know." So then this Muslim, I know his name, I'm not going to tell you yet, he starts to walk away. And the man said, "Wait a minute, there's one thing." He said, "You know what? I don't have any grudge on anybody. I don't envy anybody. And so this Muslim said, that must be it. You know what Muslim that was? You know who the one who followed that man? We still don't know his name. You know who it was who followed that man? Do you have any idea? His name is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Say so. So, you know who Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As? You don't know radiallahu anhuma? You know who he was? The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, once came to this same brother Abdullah. He said, is it correct what I hear that you said that you will fast every day? And he said, yes. He said, don't do it. This Prophet saying this to Abdullah. This Abdullah is the man following. This man want to know, what is he doing that the Prophet said he's going to have Jannah so that he can do the same thing. So he go to Jannah. He want to fast every day. The Prophet said, don't do it. He said, fast 3 days a month. He said, I can do more than that. He said, okay, then fast the fast of David, every other day. He said, I can do more than that. He said, there's nothing better than that. Also, this man, Abdullah, he prayed the entire night and read the Quran once every day.
Lord.
And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, I know Allah better than you. I pray and I sleep. Dawood, the best salat, he prayed and he slept. He said, sleep and pray. As far as the Quran, don't read the Quran in one day. Read it every month. He said, I can do better than that. The bottom line, the Prophet said, okay, every 7 days. What's my point? My point is, as much as Abdullah did, he didn't feel that he did enough. And I'm thinking, why did the Prophet do that? Why he do that? I don't want to call him Imam. I don't want to call him a psychologist. Because that, I don't, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to cheapen the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Master motivator. He knows what he's doing. First of all, the Prophet don't know nobody that's going to go to Jannah except Allah reveal it. He don't know the unseen except for Allah reveal it. So Allah revealed it to the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. Why? So that the companions always be motivated. I can give you more, but let's skip that for now. And let's get into the point. And I'm going to conclude with this. Most of you know by now that Hajj is farḍ, right? And the Prophet
Sallallahu
Alaihi Wasallam said, "Qad faradallahu alaykum al-Hajj fa hujjuz." Allah has made incumbent upon you make Hajj, so therefore make Hajj. And all the Imams, Ahmed ibn Hanbal, Imam Malik, Shafi'i, Abu Hanifa, all of them say it's farḍ. But Imam Ahmed ibn Hanbal says something different. He says, is fard fawran. What does that mean? It means that it is not only fard, but it's immediate. It's not just fard, it's immediate. Meaning, when you have the ability to, you have to do it. I was in a blessed to make Hajj last year. And we're about to come out of the Prophet's masjid. And on my right was some brothers from Bosnia. In the back, one of the brothers was playfully tapping on one of the Bosnian brothers in front of them in hiding. And when I saw that, and by the way, you probably wonder how I know it was from Bosnia, right? Because in the back of all of their shirts, it says Bosnia. So I assume there's some Bosnia. 2 years ago, a man, Muslim in Bosnia, wanted to make Hajj. He had no money, but $280. You know what he did? He walked from Bosnia to Mecca. 3,600 miles. I drive my car 900 miles from New York to Atlanta, and I'm tired when I get there. I drive my car 900 miles, and I'm tired when I get there. Sometimes I have to rest on the way there. He walked 314 days, seven different countries, one of the countries, Syria. Dangerous. And he didn't. Why? Because the Prophet said, وَالْحَجْ مَبْرُورُ لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٍ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. Because an accepted pilgrimage, there's no reward except Al-Jannah. I'm saying, and there are people, Muslims, millions of dollars, go all over the world, have never made Hajj. How is that possible? I remember I was in Medina. His young brother came to me. He said, Imam Siraj, I want to tell you about my first Hajj. I said, what about your first Hajj? He said, you know, right now you have to go for Hajj through travel agents. So he went to a travel agent and said, you know, I want to make Hajj, but I have two problems. He said, what are they? He said, you know, I'm a college student. So I only have a small window to make the Hajj. Can you make it happen? He said, yes, no problem. He said, what's the second problem? He said, the second problem is I ain't got no money. You know what he said? No problem. Paid his way. I know the owner. I know him. I went to him. I said, Mustafa, this young boy said, he said, it's true. It's true. You know why? Because he had the audacity to ask. He wanted to make Hajj. Allah made it happen for him. How many of us don't even care? So alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, I close by saying, be strong. Be strong, Muslim. If you are on the edge of something, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to get back. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin. Brothers and sisters, I have a charge for you. Howard University is a traditional black college. My brother went here, he graduated, Gregory Kearse. My cousin, Jacqueline Mann, graduated from here. I love Howard University. I'm gonna say something you may disagree with, but I believe it's strong. The condition of the African-American people right now demands that we pay attention, demands it. And I think that a university like Howard University should do something about it. And let me tell you why I say this. I learned Imam by accident something. I've shared some things with you, Imam. I'm gonna share them today with everyone here. But I learned something by accident. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, is different than any other prophet in this regard. He said, every prophet was sent to his own people. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ. And when Moses said to his people, وَإِذْ قَالَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Oh, children of Israel, I am the messenger of Allah to you. Every prophet came to their people except Muhammad alayhi salam. Muhammad is the exception, not the rule. Allah revealed in the Quran that He never sent a prophet except speaking into the language of His people in order that He may make them understand. Muhammad alayhi salam is different. Inna anzalnahu Quranan Arabiyyan. We sent an Arabic Quran, right? Muhammad spoke Arabic, right? He didn't speak English, he didn't speak French, he didn't speak German, he spoke Arabic. Now, the great wisdom of Allah is that for the first time in history, it's not the Prophet speaking the language of His people, it's the people speaking the language of the Prophet.
Allah Akbar.
So everybody learn Arabic language. Imam, this is what I learned. I'm going to give you three examples, and I'll save the best example for last. I found out that if you help your people where you are, don't skip over them, don't jump over them. We know that Islam is universal. We know that. But don't skip over them. If you focus on your people, Allah will do something wonderful. I'll show you what I mean. When you get a chance, study 1964 Civil Rights Act. Have you read it? The 1964 Civil Rights Act didn't say it prohibited what's that word they use? Discrimination against black people. It didn't say that. Go look at it. It prohibited discrimination against a person's color, their race, their religion, their sex, and their origin, place of origin. Everybody benefited from it. So though Martin Luther King Jr. and others were working on behalf of his oppressed people, everybody benefited. Number one. Number two. Mel Tyler will tell you. 34 years ago, 25 African Americans started Masjid Al-Taqwa in Brooklyn, in one of the worst parts of the city. I'm talking about blight, drugs, guns, firing, all of that. And we, the brothers and sisters of Masjid Al-Taqwa, we established that. 25 African Americans did that. And Imam, we never said that we're only going to talk to black people. Today, you come to Masjid Al-Taqwa for Jummah prayer, 1,300 people.
Allahu Akbar.
Maybe 20% African Americans. Where does this come from? Let me give you the third example. And Imam, when I thought about it, I said, Subhanallah, you got to understand this message. Allah says to the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Muhammad, tell the people, I am a messenger of Allah to all of you. So Muhammad, an Arab, in the Arabian Peninsula, teaching the people near him before he sent people out. But wait a minute. What's the percentage of Arabs of the Muslim Ummah? What percentage of the Muslim Ummah are Arabs? Huh? Maybe 15%. Max 20%. Because it's a universal message. So even though you have people around you that are black and you should administer them, my position is that most people don't even care. People don't care, brother, about people. Most people care about themselves. And this is why Martin Luther King Jr. said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? And if you study the religion of Islam, it's also about others. So the first thing, our responsibility to ourselves, kulukum ra'in wa kulukum mas'ulun an ra'yati, everyone of you is a shepherd, and everyone to be held accountable for your flock. And then the Prophet said, مَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيٍّ إِلَى رَعَى الْغَنَمِ. Allah has never sent a prophet except first as a shepherd. Every prophet was a shepherd. Read your Bible. And the companion said, you too, Prophet Muhammad, you too were a shepherd. He said, yes, I was a shepherd. Jesus was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. So when you look at the Muslims now, I have the figures there written down, but you talk about 200 million Muslims in Indonesia. You talk about 174 million Muslims in Pakistan, Bangladesh, Nigeria, Turkey, all over the world. They ain't Arabs. They're Muslims. I was in Atlanta, Georgia at a Walmart 2 years ago. I'm at Walmart, and a man comes to me and says, Assalamu alaikum. And I turned around, it was a Chinese man. And what looked like to be his wife and his daughter, there's nothing about them that made me think they're Muslim. Right? And I said, Assalamu alaikum. So, alaikum salam. He's Chinese, but he's a Muslim. He said, you know, I just came here a few days ago, and I want to know, where can I get some halal meat? SubhanAllah, Chinese. So I said, give me your number. Give me your name, your number. I'll find out and I'll call you. I said, what's your name? He said, my name is Jonathan. I said, your name ain't Jonathan. I know a name couldn't be Jonathan. Your name ain't no Jonathan. I said, what's your real name? Now, I don't know exactly how he pronounced it, but I'm going to tell you what he said, something like this. He said, my name is, I almost thought I got out. I said, okay, Jonathan, I'm not going to. I got it, right? But the fact is, all over the world, people are Muslims. Because of that man, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam.
Allah. You see, Allah don't need any of us. Really, honestly, you don't need any of us. So I want you to think about this for a moment as I close. Imam Abu Muslima, our dear friend Imam, invited me to lead the Eid prayer a couple years ago. After the prayer, he took me in the back and they had a sheep for me to slaughter. I had my white thobe and they told me how to do it. I followed instructions very carefully. I did it and laid him down. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar! And I'm telling you, I didn't get one drop of blood on me. They showed me how to do it. But the thing that was interesting, Imam, is that this sheep didn't move. Stayed there. أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ سَخَّرَ لَكُم مَّا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't you see Allah has subjected for you everything in the heavens and earth? Kai, you look like a tough guy. I think that you believe in Allah, you obey Him, and you try to do everything Allah tells you to do. I'll ask you a question. You can't talk now. Just nod your head. Yes or no. What if Allah told you during the Hajj, instead of sacrificing a sheep, you had to sacrifice a lion? Think you would do it? Oh, stop it. Like you gotta think about it. You ain't gonna sacrifice no lion. The only one here that will sacrifice a lion, maybe Salakan, maybe. But the rest of us ain't gonna happen. The reason that Allah says sacrifice a sheep, because that's how they are. That's how docile they are. Most people like sheep. That's why the prophet said that every prophet was first a shepherd. It's training. It's training when we deal with these sheep out here, and I'm telling you, most of the people are sheep. Serious. It's sheep, most of the people, man. I'm sorry, I gotta go, but I gotta tell you this first. Brother comes to my office, you know, crying, man, my daughter wants to marry a non-Muslim man. What am I gonna do? Can I bring her to you? It's Thursday. He comes to me with his daughter and his son and his wife. And sister, I give her all the ayahs from Quran, everything, what the scholars say about you can't marry a non-Muslim man, period. She said, well, to me, it gotta make sense. So I'm talking, we arguing about an hour. And Allah made me ask her this question, Imam. Because you're going to all this and do all of that. I said, sister, can I ask you? It's a personal question. Please don't get offended. But do you make salat? She said, no. And a mother bore witness, she don't make salat. So what am I doing? Why am I arguing about something like that? There's some plain thing. You got to make prayer five times a day. You're not doing that. Your issue, sister, ain't with this man. And not only, he's not. Because Allah's in Quran permitted for you to marry all the chaste women of the people of the book for the man. And Allah said also in the Quran, you don't marry the pagan women until they believe. So if you're a servant of Allah, I'm not going to go against what Allah said. Allah said, don't marry the pagan women until they believe. What do you look like? And so, he's not even the people of the book. I ain't trying to be smart, but he's Sikh. You want to marry a Sikh man? I said, why? Why you want to marry a non-Muslim man? Because he better than some of the Muslims. Okay. But there are a lot of good Muslims out there better than him. So in the end, the issue is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the issue. All this other stuff, man, all that other stuff don't mean nothing. Bottom line, are you a believer? If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're going to do the right thing. I close with this. We have a lot of work to do. Honestly, we have a lot of work to do. There are people there that are struggling mightily. And I found out that if you go out there and you ask the people, you'd be surprised how many people come to Islam. The guidance is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll never forget, man. I'll never forget. And I listen, this is the last thing. I'll never forget. True story, man. About 20 years ago, my mother, non-Muslim, she said, son, I want you and the family to come to our house for Thanksgiving dinner. Bring the family. Somebody would have said, astaghfirullah, you know, this is a pagan holiday, astaghfirullah, how could you? I said, okay, mom, but we bring the meat. She said, okay. We go to my mother's house. At that time, I had about 6 or 7 children. Had a few more after that. So we all sitting down at the table, and my mother said, son, bless the table. So I made the dua. My son Muhammad, this is the one who wants to be like his dad, right? Dresses like his dad. He's, you know, always want to hang out with me. He's 5 years old. He's sitting to my left. He says, Granny, my mother, when are you and Pow Pow, Pow Pow, my stepfather, they call him Pow Pow, when are you and Pow Pow going to become Muslims anyway? It's straight up. I mean, you know, we beat him up, we beat him around the bush. Straight up, 5 years old. You know what mother said? She said, you know what? We might as well do it right now.
Allahu Akbar.
Because of my 5-year-old son. Asked him. That's all he did. He just asked him. Shocked us. Hey, but we looking around.
Allahu Akbar.
And you'd be surprised, brothers and sisters. A Muslim brother picked me up in real Virginia, picked me from the airport. We driving, right? So we get to one of those toll booths. So we get to the toll booth. He gives the money to the lady. And the lady says to the brother, he had a nice jalebi on. She said, oh, man, that's nice. That's a nice dress. He said, thank you. And he drove away. I said, brother, do you know that every day Allah gives us an opportunity to give dawah in a very easy way? You could have said something. She got nothing from what you said. Had you said, you know what, this is a Muslim dress and we try to be modest, you know, something. And every day you're going to find out there's an opportunity for you to invite somebody to Islam. Question is, do you care? Most of us don't care. I'm telling you something. Me, I love black people. I love black people. Me and Imam Tyler was talking about coming in at Howard University, man. It's something. No, I love all people. Yeah. But you know something about because if I ask you, are you my people, you would say no. You would say no. But if I ask you, are you my brother, you say yes. You see something about the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. Anas ibn Malik says that the Prophet raised his hand and said, "Allahumma ummati ummati wa bakat. Allahumma ummati ummati." What became? So, oh Allah, my ummah, and then he cried. Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Jibril, yeah, Jibril, اذهب إلى محمد فأسأله ما يبكيك. Oh Jibril, go to Muhammad and ask him, why is he crying? What? Are you kidding me? A teardrop of Muhammad, Allah hears it and responds to it. And why he crying? He's concerned about his ummah. Not just black people. See? Not just black people. He's concerned about the ummah, which is the whole earth. So brothers and sisters, I say to you, number one, take care of your deen. Don't die, except as a Muslim. Don't gamble. Don't gamble your faith. And there's a lot of resistance out there to bring us about back from faith to disbelief. So stay strong, number one. And number two, go out to the world.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You are the best of the people of all for mankind because you enjoin the good and you forbid the evil. Go out there and invite the people to Islam. Right on the college campus, you'd be surprised. We ask Allah the Almighty to have mercy upon us and bless our sins. Guide us on the straight path. We ask Allah to tie our hearts together. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أطعنا. ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا لا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا. واغفر عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. إقامة الصلاة.
الله أكبر. Thank you.